This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل.
Today, before we resume with the discussion of the ahadith mentioned in Shawqi Watan, which speaks about the virtue of those that have been tested and challenged in different ways. As I have been doing throughout the week, sharing different points, verses, quotations, etc. So today I just want to touch briefly on one of the themes in the Quran. One of the themes in the Quran is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeatedly impresses on his bondsmen and bondswomen that he has absolute authority and that they are totally helpless and feeble. Now we read through these verses and we know that Allah can and Allah has the muscle, but till we don't see it, we don't have absolute conviction about it. We read it to the extent that yes, it's a text, it's a nas, it's in the Quran, but when we subject it to this, so I often say that we plan daily and then Allah graciously allows our plans to come to fruition. So we foolishly and naively think that things are happening because we planned. So this happens for a long time, you know, tomorrow 8 o'clock I get up, I'll meet you, I'm going to the office, 9 o'clock I have an appointment, 10 o'clock I'm meeting, I have a staff meeting, 11 o'clock I've got to meet with some board members, 12 o'clock I've got a client coming in, we're having lunch out, I've got a domestic, so I've got a busy schedule and I plan it and I tick my boxes and Allah allows things to happen as I planned. So I naively think that it all happened because I planned. And then occasionally, like now, on a very large scale, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disrupts everything. And then we realize it never happened because we planned, but it happened because Allah allowed the plan to come to fruition and culmination. That being said, just to share some quick verses of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of His clout, His authority, His might, His grandeur. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ سَمْعَكُمْ وَأَبْصَارَكُمْ وَخَتَمَ عَلَى قُلُوبِكُمْ مَنْ إِلَهٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِهِ. Oh, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ask them if I were to suddenly just seize their vision, seize their hearing ability. And sometimes the seizing doesn't happen instantly. Sometimes it happens so gradually that you don't realize it. أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا نَأْتِي الْأَرْضَ نَنْقُسُهَا مِنْ أَطْرَافِهَا أَفَهُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ. أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا نَأْتِي الْأَرْضَ نَنْقُسُهَا مِنْ أَطْرَافِهَا وَاللَّهُ يَحْكُمْ لَا مُعَقِّبَ لِحُكْمِهِ. But don't they see how gradually we narrow in their lands? Do they still foolishly think they will be victorious and dominant? Don't they realize I pass a judgment and nobody can override my judgment and I override everyone's judgment? إِنَّمَا مَثَلُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَا إِنْ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. When you read these verses in the current context and climate, I promise you, it just gives you an amazing, different feeling. And that's the universal application of the Quran. The similitude, the parable of this world is كَمَا إِنْ like water. أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ, which comes down from the clouds. فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ مِمَّا يَأْكُلُ النَّاسُ وَالْأَنْعَامُ. And then the vegetation grows and there's crops and there's beautiful harvests and there's produce, etc. حَتَّى إِذَا أَخَذَتِ الْأَرْضُ زُخْرُفَهَا. A verse of the 11th Juz Surah Yunus. When the earth takes its beauty and its splendor. Wow. وَزَيَّنَتْ. And it's adorned and beautified. وَظَنَّ أَهْلُهَا أَنَّهُمْ قَادِرُونَ عَلَيْهَا. And the tiller of the farm said, and the farmer, the owner said, it's time to harvest. Tomorrow, early morning, we will be doing our harvest, and then we'll be in the market, and then people will be coming out. Just to give you a verbatim translation, وَظَنَّ أَهْلُهَا, and the farmer felt, the owner felt, that he is in control of the situation. And probably before the lockdown, every one of us felt I was in control. Tomorrow I'm on a flight and off I go. Tomorrow I'm meeting and I'm doing this here. How many a weddings were cancelled? How many a functions were cancelled? How many a students who had been studying for years on end and unfortunately they had a very simple, basic graduation which they were anticipating. I recall years back when I was in America, in California, where I had spent three Ramadans. So I once went to visit the famous Alcatraz, right? It was a notorious prison for the hardcore criminals. And we took a cruise right to the, you know, to the jail itself, Alcatraz, and people know about it, and there's documentaries and films, etc., about it. So one of the former inmates of Alcatraz was there, and he was selling his own book and his own story and tale, etc. And as I was reading through and walking through and, you know, picking up and understanding who was here and the kind of criminals, etc., there was a particular inmate and, you know, former inmate of Alcatraz who had spent the longest of time there. But he didn't make much fame, much news. There wasn't much coverage about his life. And he said, and he lived on this hope that the day I die, it will dominate every bulletin across the world. And he lived on the hope of making fame at his death, that the longest inmate of Alcatraz dies. Fate had it that his death coincided with the assassination of Kennedy. Fate had it. And I've been to the, you know, the Kennedy assassination point as well on one of my trips, but that's on the side note. Imagine you living in incarceration. You are in this, you know, Alcatraz. You are in this place for hardcore criminals, and you're hoping to hit fame at the time of your death. Listen, that's the day I'm going to hit every bulletin. But nobody knew at that point, which was just over 50 odd years back now. Recently, there was an article on it. And because Kennedy was assassinated, JF Kennedy at that time, obviously that dominated the news. And the poor guy, his whole life didn't have fame. And even at the point of death, he didn't get the fame he wanted. So there could be such events in life that can steamroll, that can overpower, that can overwhelm, that can obscure, that can just derail things completely. وَظَنَّ أَهْلُهَا أَنَّهُمْ قَادِرُونَ عَلَيْهَا. And the farmer and the tiller felt, I am in control. أَتَاهَا أَمْرُنَا لَيْلًا أَوْ نَهَارًا. Oh man, you could read this ayah throughout the night. You could read it in the current climate and context. There were great sahaba that would take one ayah and just read through it. Someone says, I came to meet Asma radiyallahu anha, and I seen her reciting one verse of the Quran. فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَوَقَانَا عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ. فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَوَقَانَا عَذَابَ السَّمُومِ. When the occupants of paradise will be in paradise, may Allah make us amongst them. Then they will say this, Allah has been extremely kind to us. He got us across everything and He's rescued us from the intensity of the fire of hell. And she read this ayah in joy, in excitement, in anticipation throughout the night. Yet another person said, I came looking for Tamim radiyallahu anhu, and he was reading one verse of the Quran. أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ جَتَرَحُوا السَّيِّئَاتِ أَنَّ جَعَلَهُمْ كَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَوَاءً مَحْيَاهُمْ وَمَمَاتُهُمْ. Those who live a wicked life, a sinful life, do they think they will enjoy the same outcome and abode like those who were noble and pious? Never. It's not going to happen. سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. Their conclusions are distorted, wicked and evil. So that ayah had a great impact, and he read through it throughout the night. By Allah, when you look around you today, in the how the world has come to a halt and a shut, and you take this year and you magnify the implications. وَظَنَّ أَهْلُهَا أَنَّهُمْ قَادِرُونَ عَلَيْهَا. And the custodian and the guardian and the owner felt he was in control. أَتَاهَا أَمْرُنَا لَيْلًا أَوْ نَهَارًا. Our decree arrived by them at night or by day. فَجَعَلْنَاهَا حَصِيدًا كَأَن لَّمْ تَغْنَ بِالْأَمْسِ. In the context of that garden that Allah speaks about and the orchard, we made it like it was ruined crops. It had been harvested. كَأَن لَّمْ تَغْنَ بِالْأَمْسِ, like it never existed. كَأَن لَّمْ يَغْنَوْ فِيهَا, like they never existed. So one of the themes of the Quran is that Allah reminds us He is supreme, He is sovereign, He is in absolute control, and we are feeble, we are weak, we are helpless, and we need to reiterate His greatness and our weakness. That's the first point of reflection I wanted to share. The second thing that I want to share before we endeavor to continue with the discussion on hadith, there is a verse in the seventh chapter, Surah A'raf, the high wall in the ninth juz, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Pharaoh. And again, there's a great similarity here in the context of how there was, you know, repeated challenges that were brought upon him. And at every affliction, there was a kind of awakening, pledge, commitment, but which was very short-lived post the diversion of that particular trial and tragedy. And that is the challenge of humans, that our reflections are very short-lived. Our promises are very short-lived. At this point, each one of us are at some point or the other doing some soul searching. You know what? I need to change my life. I need to really get an awakening. Things are really happening on a different scale. I need to realign my moral compass. So, what is the demand of gratitude? What is the demand of gratitude? The demand of gratitude, the scholars tell us, is that we remain firm in the obedience of Allah in every situation. That is the demand. And I'll tell you from the Quran. So Allah addresses the narrative in the fourth juz in Surah Nisa, in Surah Ali Imran, in Surah Ali Imran, in the third chapter of the Quran, in the tale of Uhud, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that when the rumor was circulated about the assassination of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this had obviously created panic amongst the Sahaba. And scholars also say that this rumor mongering that had taken place, and this notion that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was assassinated, which had created panic amongst the ranks of Sahaba, was almost on a subtle note an early signal and preparation for the companions for that inevitable reality. Because there was no way you could prepare the Sahaba. No person prepares the death of his beloved. No person anticipates it. We shut down, we block off, don't talk about this here, not now. Just don't mention this here. You know, it's something I don't want to hear. I know, but I don't want to hear. I know it's a reality, but I don't want to entertain. And for Sahaba whose love for Nabi alayhi salam, no words can describe it other than how Allah describes it. So anyway, during this whole thing, few Sahaba staggered and they lost their balance momentarily. The munafiqeen exploited the moment and they started inviting openly towards hypocrisy. And this is mentioned in the tafasir. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed the verses, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is but a prophet. And here again, academically, the scholars tell us that the qasr is for nafyul uluhiyyah, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is nothing but a messenger. It's not to drop the status or the position, but rather to refute the notion that he is Allah. That is the point here. It is the nafi of uluhiyyah. He is not Allah. He is a prophet of Allah. He is the greatest of Allah's creation. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلِ, he was preceded by many prophets. أَفَإِمَّتْ, so if one day he passes away, أَوْ قُتِلْ, or he is assassinated, إِنْقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ, will you turn on your backs? Will you abandon? Will you move away? وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ عَقِبَيْهِ, whoever turns on his heels, فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا, you can never harm Allah in any way. وَسَيَجْزِ اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ, subhanallah. And very quick and very soon and very swift, Allah will compensate the grateful. So what is meant by the grateful? Why shakirin ya? And they say the shakirin, the grateful ones are those who will hold firm onto the bounties of Allah and understand their obligation regardless of the crisis. So regardless of the situation, a believer, he focuses on the bounties and the favors of Allah, and my duty is to remain dutiful, obedient, and compliant to Allah. So anyway, in Surah A'raf, in the ninth juz, in the seventh chapter, in verse 130, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about different torments that were unleashed upon Pharaoh. Right? Now, again, when you're going through something, then it kind of resonates stronger with you. The feeling is very different. The acknowledgement is very unique. So Allah says, وَلَقَدْ أَخَذْنَا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ بِالسِّنِينَ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. And indeed, we gripped the people of Pharaoh, آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ بِالسِّنِينَ, with droughts, وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ, and shortage of fruit. In Madarik al-Tanzil, it is mentioned that naqsim min al-thamarat happened in the Amsar, while sinin happened in the Bawadi. that the droughts had happened on the out raining areas and the shortage of fruits had happened in the city. So, I mean, in the system of Allah, Allah can strike, you know, in a thousand ways. Allah can strike in a thousand ways. I always mentioned this year that, the concluding verses of Surah Al-Mulk, Allah says, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُ مِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاءُكُمْ غَوْرًا. If I deny you access to water, who's going to provide you water? So there was this arrogant, obstinate person, and this is mentioned in Jalalain. He said, we will access water by technology going deep down till we reach a spring, until we reach water and a well. So, فَذَهَبَ مَاءُ عَيْنِهِ فَعَمِيَ. Allah then instantly dried up the water in his eye socket and he became blind. You know? There's a good friend of mine's, Morana Zahid, and I hope probably he's listening. He's teaching at Madrasatun Noor, you know, Lil Makfufin, the madrasa that we have for those that are visually impaired. He said to me something very amazing, and it got me thinking. He said that one day, and now it has become common in our country, unfortunately, where the power outages happen so often and so rapid. He said one day there was a power outage in our madrasa. He said, you won't believe what happened. Every sighted person had to hold the hand of a blind man. Because for the students, every day there's no power because they don't have vision. So they know their movement and mashallah, they operate swiftly, confidently. They feel, they touch and they get around. But suddenly in the earlier stages where probably they were not, contingency plans and backup plans. Now, of course, people kind of have backup plans. And suddenly there was this extended power outage. And every basir became dependent on the a'ma. Every sighted person became dependent on a blind person. So every ustad held the hand of a blind student, and visually impaired blind student took the sighted person to his house. How Allah can turn things, right? And medically they say, I read once on a flight in an in-flight magazine, that the second most complex organ in the body after the brain is the eye. I'm no ophthalmologist, but I did read this year that it's a very, very critical organ of the body. The point I'm saying is, imagine you sighted, you think you have an edge, you one up, and he's visually impaired. And in your own environment, Allah reverses the role and Allah makes you dependent on the visually impaired person. So believer needs to be one with humility. In this ayah, discussion of this in Madarikut Tanzil, it is mentioned that Allama Nasafi has mentioned this under the opinion of Qila. And Qila, you would know, is not a very established opinion. It has been said. That is the rating and the grading of something that has been mentioned as Qila without mentioning the name of the Qa'il. But anyway, it is mentioned there that Aasha Fir'aun 400 sana. Fir'aun lived for 400 years. And for 320 years, lam yara makruhan. He didn't see any difficulty in his life. And it's also mentioned there under this ayah in Madarikut Tanzil that had he seen some difficulties in that 320 years. Can you imagine a life of 320 years and how arrogant and how obstinate a person can become? And again, I have a flash here in Tanbihul Ghafilin under the fada'il of this ummah. Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi rahimahullah writes something very amazing. He says, Allah's benevolence and mercy to this ummah is just unique. He gave them a short life, hatta takuna dhunubuhum aqal, so that their sinning period is limited. We're not going to let you live for more than 60 years. So even if you want to sin, you won't be able to sin. So Allah gave them a short life, thereby limiting their options to vice. And then Allah compensated in the short life with great nights and months to give them the opportunity of an extended life in terms of virtue. So Allah gave them Qadr, Laylatul Qadr. He said, value this and you have 1,000 months, you have 83 odd years. Worship me on a Friday and you get this. Do this on this day and you have this. Yeah, subhanallah, that's the kindness of Allah. So anyway, Allah speaks about Pharaoh, right? وَلَقَدْ أَخَذْنَا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ بِالسِّنِينَ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ. Look at this here. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ. Allah said, we tested them. And that's my focus here. I'm not shying away from the need. And I think every news bulletin is keeping you up to speed and abreast with the numbers of fatalities, casualties, those that have succumbed to the illness, the precautions, the manner in which it's been curbed, etc. And we continue to make dua. But our focus here in this segment that we endeavor to achieve is to give people a sense of guidance and navigation through Quran. So Allah said that we tested them with different situations, with shortage of fruit and with droughts. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ. Hopefully they will heed the admonition of Allah. Hopefully they will heed the admonition of Allah. You know, in this ayah, in the 25th juz, where Allah says, مَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. That whatever affliction comes to you is as a result of what you do, right? And it is there to jolt you and awaken you and revive you. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu used to say, هَذِهِ أَرْجَى آيَةٌ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. This verse of the Quran gives me the greatest comfort. So people said, but Allah is saying your afflictions are in relation to your wrongs. How does it give you comfort and solace? He said, لِأَنَّ الْكَرِيمَ إِذَا عَاقَبَ مَرَّ لَا يُعَاقِبُ مَرَّةً أُخْرَى. Because a kind being is one who, if he subjects you to consequences once, he won't subject you to it again. So if Allah is making us feel the repercussion of our wrong in this world, hopefully he's cleaning the slate for us in Akhirah. Subhanallah. That was the thinking of the pious. Anyway, 320 years, he had ease and prosperity. And then it was in the latter 80 years. This is where difficulties and challenges came in his life. In this world, you know, these challenges of what's been mentioned here and the subsequent. But for three centuries, he enjoyed ease, comfort, prosperity. And that's precisely what is mentioned there, that it was due to the extended prosperity that unfortunately he exploited, which created this arrogance in him, which created this abuse of power, and he did the most nasty of things. I have a flash of a verse of the Quran. Someone said, Subhanallah, and this is mentioned in Tanwirul Adhan, that when Allah Subhanahu wa Taala told Sayyidina Musa and Harun, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. That go to Pharaoh and say to him a soft word. Say to him a gentle word. So in Tanwirul Adhan, or it's in Ibn Kathir, I read it. One of the pious Salafus Salihin said, Ya man yatahabbab, ya man yatahabbab, ila man yu'adihi, fakayfa biman yatawallahu wa yuwalihi. Ya man yatahabbab, ila man yu'adihi. Yaman yet, oh my word, oh my word, oh my Allah. Yaman yatahabbab ila man yu'adihi, fakayfa biman yatawallahu wa yuwalihi. Oh my Lord, I just marvel at your clemency and your grace. You display affection to someone who's hostile towards you. I don't know what would be your level of affection for those who are compliant and obedient to you. Allah. Ya man yatahabbab ila man yu'adihi, fakayfa biman yatawallahu wa yuwalihi. These words are just too much. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ. We tested them, we jolted them so that they could change. فَإِذَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْحَسَنَةُ قَالُوا لَنَا هَذِهِ. Look at the arrogance. During the period of these trials, when a tragedy was diverted and prosperity came, they said, هذه وإن تصيبهم سيئة حسنة قالوا لنا هذه. He said, no, this is something we are entitled to. This is our right. This is our due. This is our due. وإن تصيبهم سيئة يطيروا بموسى ومن معه. And whenever they were gripped by some tragedy, they attributed the bad omen to Musa alayhi salam and the believers. It says, you know what? وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, you bad luck. Because of you. أَلَا إِنَّمَا طَائِرُهُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. The knowledge of their bad and the cause of their bad is by Allah. Allah knows the reason and Allah knows why this evil comes upon them. And then they continued in the arrogance. وَقَالُوا مَهْمَا تَأْتِنَا بِهِ مِنْ آيَةٍ لِتَسْحَرَنَا بِهَا فَمَا نَحْنُ لَكَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. Now, this is the point I want to mention. فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمُ الطُّوفَانَ. Allah says, then we send floods upon them. Tufan. وَالْجَرَادِ. Locusts. وَالْقُمَّلْ. Qummal, some have translated it as grasshoppers. and others have ticks, and some as lice as well. There's a variation of translation, and from a linguistic perspective, the word qummal encompasses all these meanings. فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمُ الطُّوفَانِ وَالْجَرَادِ وَالْقُمَّلِ وَالضَّفَادِ and frogs. What dumb. On day one, I had mentioned that as bad as the crisis is, right? Allah has the muscle and the clout to make it worse. What dumb? There's the verse of the Quran in the 9th juz in the 7th chapter. Dumb here, the scholars unanimously agree that Allah had converted their water into blood. And to the extent that there was a clear distinction that this was a niqmah and an adab upon them, in the sense that if an Israeli and a Qibti, if Bani Israel were drinking from a vessel and a Qibti, you know, one of the people of Pharaoh were drinking on a common table and there was a glass or there was a jug of water, if the Bani Israeli would take that water, it would remain water. But if a person from the clan of Pharaoh would take that, then as he would bring that water close to his mouth, that water would turn into blood. فَاسْتَكْبَرُوا وَكَانُوا قَوْمًا مُجْرِمِينَ Then what did they do? They came to Musa alayhi salam. They said, "Oh Musa, supplicate your Lord and ask him to remove this. And we promise we're going to change. We promise we're going to change." And that's what I'm asking my brother and my sister. What they say, many a vows are made in storm and forgotten in calm. Many a vows are made in storm and forgotten in calm. Many a vows are made in ICU and forgotten at home. Many a vows are made in economic turbulence and forgotten in economic stability. Many a vows are made when the marriage is on rocks and forgotten when it's hunky-dory. Many a vows are made when my child is roaming and is lost, and they are forgotten when my child is obedient and compliant. So it's very easy to make that vow. It's very easy to make that vow. You know what? When it's turbulent and it's rocky. But when Allah does it for us, which He so graciously does it. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَاهَدَ اللَّهَ لَإِنْ آتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لَنَصَّدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ So they said, "Oh Musa, make dua to Allah that Allah must remove it. And if Allah removes it, then we will return and we will change." لَنُرْسِلَنَّ مَعَكَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ And Allah says, every time we removed one difficulty, they turn on their heels and they disobeyed and they violated. Ultimately, فَأَغْرَقْنَاهُمْ فِي الْيَمِّ We dropped Pharaoh and his army into the water. فَغَشِيَهُمْ مِنَ الْيَمِّ مَا غَشِيَهُمْ If I have to paraphrase that ayat, I would translate it by say, did the water drown him? And did the water drown him? You know, you say, and was he embarrassed? And was he ashamed? And did the water drown him? فَغَشِيَهُمْ مِنَ الْيَمِّ مَا غَشِيَهُمْ So I wanted to touch on something else here, because yesterday we opened up on one hadith, and I'll just conclude on it, where anyone, مَا يُصِيبُ الْمُسْلِمُ مِنْ نَصَبٍ وَلَا وَصَبٍ وَلَا هَمٍّ وَلَا حُزْنٍ that a Muslim who's tested by any pain, difficulty, agony, or a thorn, إِلَّا كَفَّرَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِنْ خَطَايَاهُ that Allah compensates him with that. Allah compensates him with that. The scholars speak about sabr, and then they speak about rada bil qada. So maybe tomorrow, on Monday, inshallah, we will touch on that. And that is, one is you persevere on a difficulty. So you are uneasy with it, but you hold in back. And then there's something higher, is that you make peace with it. What they say, أَوْجَدَهُمُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي الْعَذَابِ عَذُوبَ فِي الْأَلَمِ عَذُوبَ The word adhabia is not in the literal context, it's metaphorical, that in affliction, Allah gave them sweetness. In fact, there is a narration of Ibn Majah, there's an authentic narration of Ibn Majah. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَإِنَّ أَحَدَهُمْ That the pious and the anbiya, أَشَدُّ فَرَحًا بِالْبَلَاءِ مِنْ أَحَدِكُمْ بِالْعَطَاءِ The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that the pious and the anbiya rejoice more on an affliction than you can possibly rejoice on being a beneficiary of a bounty or recipient of a gift. Somebody gives you something, you're excited and you're elated, and that's great. But your joy pales when compared to the joy that the pious derive when they are being tested by the Almighty. And I leave you with this ayah of the Quran in Surah Taghabun, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that ما أصاب من مصيبة إلا بإذن الله. Whatever tragedy strikes the earth happens with the will of Allah. ومن يؤمن بالله يهدي قلبه. And the one who believes in Allah, Allah will surely guide his heart through those trying times to two things, the scholars say, through patience and رضا بالقضاء, accepting of the will of the Almighty. May Allah bless us with sabr and رضا بالقضاء. Ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen.